So you talked last time about how far you have to go to be matzah l'chola, because it's a, you violate the law, the potential law of lo samal damarecha, but lo samal, right? So we know for mitzvah to say you have to be willing to give up chomash nechasov, a fifth of your assets, and for to not violate a law, you have to be willing to give up kol mamono. It's the Ramah both in Yerdekov and Zayin and in Archaim Tafresh Nun Vav by Esrog. So the question is, why should that difference exist between chomash nechasov and kol mamono? So you have two different svaris. What's the meaning? One is just a sheval taisa. By a bit of lase, it's a sheval taisa. You're not actually doing anything. And therefore, it's fine that if b'sheval taisa, you don't do anything, at least you didn't do anything wrong, up to chomash nechasov, more than that, you don't have to do. But for a lav, to violate a lav, you have to get up and do something. So you're not allowed to violate the Torah, bekum va'aseh, even if it costs you all your money, because you're not allowed to violate the Torah, bekum va'aseh. But you're not allowed to actually do a maisa to violate the Torah. However, if it's b'sheh v'altaisa, it might be fine. So the nafkamina would be, what if you have a lav shein bo maisa? A lav shein bo maisa, lo samar al damarecha. Normally a lav you violate by doing something. Ritzicha, geneva, you actually have to do something. This is a lav that you violate b'sheh v'altaisa, like a bali aroi. You violate by having the chametz in your house, and it's a lav shein bo maisa, ostensibly at least. This is certainly a law of shein b'maisa. You don't have to do anything and you violate the law. So is that chomash nechasov or kol mamono? We saw Bikur Yankov talks about it, like, what about eating outside the sukkah? So that's the opposite. That's it's a bit laseh bekum va'aseh. So is that, so he talked about it from that perspective, is it's a bit laseh bekum va'aseh. Or to eat during Tosefes Yom Kippurim. Tosefes Yom Kippurim is only an assay. There's no lav not to eat during Tosefes Yom Kippurim. There's only an assay, so it's a bitl assay, but it's a bitl assay bekum va'assay. So what about that? Is that chomash nechasov or kol mamono? So the Bikur Yaakov was the most machmer. So there are four potential categories, right? There's an assay and a lav, and then there's a kum va'assay and a shev al taisa. So he says the only time the chomash nechasov applies is an assay b'shev al taisa, right? If you make a chart, so there's an assay bekum va'assay, assay b'shev al taisa, assay bekum va'assay, a lav b'shev al taisa, which kum va'aseh and a lav b'shev al taisa. He says three out of the four require kol mamono. Anytime it's a lav or it's a kum va'aseh, either one is good. Sorry, I shouldn't call it kum va'aseh. Either it's any type of a lav or requires a maisa, it's a yeshbo maisa, so then it's going to be kol mamono. And so others who disagree. The Prima Gadim seems misupik about it. The Prima Gadim seems misupik about it. The Seichemet had a whole arichus on it. The Rivash seems to think that it has to do with being a lav, and if it's a lav, it's called mamono, and it doesn't really matter. So if you have a Rivash, it's unclear why this Rivash isn't very quoted much, but he's only one of the few Rishon who actually talks about this, and he says it's a lav. So it's a lav, and it's a Rishon, so I don't really know how you get out of it, unless you want to say that Lo Samad is different for some other reason, but if it's standard lav, Shein Bo Maisa, the Rivash should be clear. Okay, so the last thing we talked about was this... Torah Tmima.
So the conclusion, kol mamono for...
It sounds like it. It sounds like kol mamono when it's lo samad al damarecha. So the reason we're talking about this is because we're going to extend it. Is it really just a din in money? Is it just a din in kol mamono? Or is it in other things? So if you just skip to the Eshel Avram... Why Eshel Avram? I don't know.
Can you define kol mamono meaning everything you currently have or versus...
So we'll talk about that in a second. So we'll talk about that in a second. So if you look at the Eshel Avram Buchach, so he says, my pages are a little bit different. Mine aren't double-sided. So, but there's an Eshel Avram, it's back in the Gemara. So he says, Yosem Yechomesh is on the Tafreishin and Vav, and Arachayim, Ulol Bichlal, Masha Kosov, Odos Chomesh, Yish Gamkin, Bikach Shir Bitzar. It's not a din in money. It's also a din in tzar. If it's going to cost you, right, there's different types of costs in life. There's time, there's energy, there's tzar. So if it's more tzar than it's worth, Chomesh Nechosov, you would be potter. And if so, okay, so that's understandable. So could there be a tzar that's worth more than kol mamono? What is kol mamono? So it sounds pastor. So Rav Shechter said that, I spoke to him today about this. He said, look, the din of chomash nechasov we learn from kol shartitem li'asar asrenu lach, from Avram Avinu. It's a din. For mitzvah say, you only have to give up chomash nechasov. That's a din. What's kol mamono? Kol mamono isn't all your money. It's any, it means you can't do it. It's usher to do. Right? You're not allowed to violate this law no matter what. The Ramah didn't come up with a din of kol mamono. He said it means everything up until putting yourself in matzav of safek nefashos. So you're not allowed to violate a law up to the matzav. You don't have to put yourself in makom safek nefashos, but short of that, you're mechuyev. There's no din of kol mamono.
So eventually, like in Europe where, you know, an 80-year-old patient might not be given dialysis and they'd have to slowly, let's say, die, halacha would say that you have to go ahead and do anything you can to raise the funds for dialysis, even if...
I mean, he's not dying, right? He's not suffering. He's a healthy guy.
Within a week.
No, but he could potentially live another couple of years. Like a 50-year-old guy.
Let's say you have a person, let's say either you have a person who's going to die. You have him in.
So we'll talk about people who are dying differently. But let's say he could live.
You're not going to live with renal failure.
No, but you'll live with that. But with dialysis, you'll live how long?
With dialysis, you'll live.
I may have asked him. So you can get it done.
So we have to give it.
In theory, yeah.
Funds.
We'd be mechuyev as a community to support him. Yeah. Yeah, we'd be mechuyev to help him because he has no. I mean, he's not. There's no. We'll talk about. What we really want to talk about is when you don't have to. When you can hold back from therapy. That's really the topic. But this is the intro. When can you hold back from therapy? If you have a healthy guy, you can live, you know, at least 10 more years with this therapy, and he's not suffering, and he's normal, and even he's suffering a little bit. But there's no reason to stop this therapy other than. You know, socialism. So socialism is enough of a reason to violate an iser, or to be mevatel nase, I think. Capitalism, I don't think it's either. But that's what doesn't usually happen here. So that's actually what happened. Historically, you realize that's Medicare was started to fund dialysis machines. So when dialysis machines came into being in the 50s, so dialysis machines, so when the person's kidneys fail, so they can't filter their blood. They can't filter their blood. They can't make urine. They will die from uremia, from an excess of buildup of poisons in the blood. So, okay, so you can get a kidney transplant, which in the 50s was not the safest thing, or you can get dialysis, which filters your blood. You have to do it like 2 or 3 times a week, depending on for how long and whatever. And these machines are very expensive, and so only the wealthy people could afford it. So it was like a big deal when the government said, we're going to pay for it for everybody. So the only patients who qualify for Medicare is if you're over 65, if you have some other disease, or you have end-stage renal failure. Anyone who has end-stage renal failure qualifies for Medicare.
Because the senator that sponsored the bill, his mother... there's a reason why that was one of the meaning there's certain specific cases.
Right, it was really started for these dialysis machines at first that no one could afford them. And so now dialysis centers have become a big deal and you can't be guaranteed. A whole interesting...
So how far would you be required to... Meaning, so you're referring to a dialysis now, but what about a therapy that's riskier or that's not necessarily...
So this risky therapy is different. So dialysis is not risky as far as
right.
we know.
No, but I'm saying
dialysis is a very safe therapy.
Meaning it's a suffix whether it's going to work. We're not sure.
So we'll dialysis talk about...
We know.
So we'll talk about Svekis, okay. and we'll talk about, that's our full Shane and Baduka issues, or Sakana, meaning is it's not going to work, if it doesn't work, nothing happens to you, or there's a risk to you. So that's a separate topic. Can you put yourself at risk, or the suffix risk, to extend your life even longer? Related, but we won't talk about it right now. Or if it'll be benign, or a full Baduka, or a full Shane Baduka. So we'll talk about that separately. But let's assume dialysis, at least, is safe. You know, what happens is you sit there, they attach... They put one needle here, and it goes through a machine, and it filters your blood, and you sit there for a couple hours. It's not, like, pleasant, but it's not painful. But we'll talk about that topic also with the blood donation. Is it Tzitz Eliezer, who says, yeah, but during the... So he wants to know about donating thrombocytes and donating other blood factors. When we give blood, normally you go, they put a needle, and you fill a bag, and you go home. But sometimes they want specific parts of your blood, and so they have to filter it out in some way. So what they do is they attach your needles to both arms and they take out blood, right? The blood gets sucked into the machine, gets filtered out, and you get back everything but whatever it is they're looking for, and you'll regenerate it, and it's fine. That way, because let's say there's only a small amount in each pint. You're only giving a pint of blood, but there's only a small amount of whatever factor, whatever they're looking for, whatever cell they're looking for. This is where they can filter through all your blood, take out as much as they want, and you'll be fine. You'll regenerate, but you don't lose blood volume, because if you lose blood volume, your blood pressure plops, and that's bad. So he says, yeah, but they're taking out all your blood. You'll die. And they tell you to give it back. Okay, but that's still a sakana. You're not allowed to do that. So we'll talk about that. It's here, and he talks about it here, and in the back, there's a sefer called B'damai Chayi, which I found, a sefer on the Hilchos of giving blood. A little tiny sefer that doesn't really say much.
Even if a procedure would impoverish a community, let's say, but it's
so if it impoverishes, so the question is, if it impoverishes a community, you're risking other people's lives.
And you're also risking the fact that the community won't be able to be
right.
in other mitzvos.
So other mitzvos we're okay with. Other mitzvahs, as a public policy question, it's a question, what do we do as a community, bless you, like, we won't be able to support, so what do we do? Okay, so that's interesting public policy, but in theory, at least, it should apply. Who's obligated to do this, and at what levels, is going to be a separate question, but it sounds like if we controlled the, you know, Medicaid, we would have to fund this. I mean, certainly there, because I don't think anyone's losing in Medicaid.
It's very taxing on society and
we do it here.
Saying, but and yeah. The medical system.
I don't think it's because we're funding dialysis for end-stage renal patients.
I'm not saying only that. I'm saying in general, the medical treatments is, they're, you know.
Right, but I think as an American people, we decided that was a priority.
Correct. I'm saying it seems like halakha would be even further than what we do now, and in that case, it seemed like it would just be the vast majority of the economy would be going to.
Maybe it should be. Meaning, from a halachic perspective, why are you ever allowed to open a museum? Why are you allowed to fund a baseball team and not open another hospital? Shouldn't you have to build a hospital? It's pikuach nefesh. Shouldn't you have to build a hospital instead of building any other public structure? Maybe the fire department, the police department, not okay, but like museums would certainly be out. NASA would be out. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You wouldn't be able to have parks or anything, right? In theory. What about pikuach nefesh? Because, I mean, there's lots of time in Olam Rechi, and the museum is nice. I'm not knocking the museum, but so if it's not helping you, maybe it's helping you appreciate the world, but it's not helping you, you're not violating Olam. Okay, so a kid's museum. I mean, you can come up with a baseball team, you know, it's funded on public property or parks or whatever, it's going to be a problem. So at some point, we're going to have public policy considerations as, you know, why is a doctor ever allowed to go home? Okay, why is he allowed to take vacation?
Because if someone else is covering him.
There's someone else covering him, but.
Because otherwise he will stop being able to do it for long.
Okay, so now you're coming up where you're saying, no, Taki is pikuach nefesh. He needs to go on vacation because the vacation is pikuach nefesh. So they want to know by doctor strikes. Can the physician strike in Israel? Or is it putting people's lives at risk? So you have to be done. Why are they? So if they're not allowed to strike, why can they take vacation? I mean, at some point, there's going to be a limit. It's going to be more of a public policy consideration.
You could even say that with public policy with baseball, you know, the community needs.
Okay, so you have to fine. So you'd have to. I don't think that's the formula that we're using. I don't know that formula is going to work. But in theory, I think in this country we do fund pretty much everything. I think Medicaid and Medicare will fund pretty much any end of life care, as long as it's not like, you know, highly, highly, highly experimental, which will be done on whether that's necessary. If it's, you tell me if it's a reshus, then do we have to fund it or not? But if it's mechuyev, I think they will fund pretty much anything. Whether your insurance company will or not, it's a separate question. But as a Medicaid or Medicare, I think the government won't.
Isn't keeping the ER like open to anyone similar to that? Like, if we let anyone in who's actually like at life-threatening point, like anyone gets in, anyone gets treatment.
Right.
Kind of cover us, like.
That law exists.
No one being sent out in the street dying. Like,
right.
If you're at dying, they take care of you.
Right. So it's Emtala, I think, is the law.
I'll give you a massive bill.
Why Emtala? It's Mtala, I think. It's such a law that was passed that.
Right.
So, when I did an elective with the renal service. So, by dialysis patients is a problem, right? So let's say you have a dialysis patient. So he has his center and he's been going for X number of years, and he goes three times a week and he's fine. I mean, he's not fine. He has renal failure, but he's living. And then he decides to show up in New York one day, and he needs dialysis. So he shows up in the ER. He says, "I haven't had dialysis in 2 days. I'm gonna die. Let me into your dialysis unit." And they have to understand dialysis units make a lot of money because they're treating a lot of patients, and it's like it's a little bit factory-like because it's like very, not in a bad way, in a good way, because we've managed to do this in a way which we can maximize the number of people. So they have a whole rotation. So now, do they have to fit this guy in? So how do you deal with him? But that's one of
the... Would you treat him in the ER? Like, do they
you can't give him dialysis in the ER. If you can, you could treat him once and then send him out, and he'll show up 2 days later.
Right.
Meaning, how do you deal with these patients who need more of a chronic care?
What's the law? Laws
you have to. So I shouldn't say his name, but he thought this was the law, but I shouldn't mention him because maybe he was wrong. But he thought that he had to give him dialysis that day and send him out. He said no. He said he didn't have to. Let's say he got it 3 days a week. He said we could test his blood. We don't have to give it to him until it becomes necessary. The fact that he's going to feel terrible for the next 2 days isn't going to mechayev him. Right. Now, that may have been right or wrong.
But each time this guy comes in, is that the point of needing it? You'd have to treat.
Something like that, yeah. But that's the law. That's the law. Fine. So let's not go through this. The Torah Tmima has a whole lumdus here to try to prove from the Ramah. Really, he holds it Sheif Al-Taisa. We'll leave that out by Nidre Onsen, right? Nidre Zemerson. We'll leave that out. You can see it on your own. So Mitzad Lotam Al Amreacha. So the assumption is that we're going to go with it's either a lav, any lav requires Kol Mamono, or at least a lav b'kumvaseh requires kol mamono, and according to the Kor Yaakov, any kumvaseh or any lav requires kol mamono. And then we'll see, we didn't talk about Tsar yet. So we mentioned just briefly about Tsar, so we saw the Eshel Avram who already extended it, and we'll see more. Just briefly, so we saw also the Rav Schechter's point, meaning what is kol mamono? Is kol mamono just all of your money, which it sounds like Rav Schechter thought not. It means everything up to suffix sakan, there's no such din as kol mamono. The Eshel Avram said Tsar by Chomash Nechasov. There is a Tsar that's worth more than Chomash Nechasov. Could there be a Tsar that's worth more than Kol Mamono? So if possible, so then maybe Kol Mamono, then that's not like Rav Schechter. Kol Mamono means a shear. If Kol Mamono is a shear, so it's possible that there's something greater than that shear. And maybe such terrible Tsar does reach that level. See, Rav Moshe says like that. So I'll hand it over to Jonathan. We're going to do blood donation now because it's in the Antioma, because there's a blood drive. I'm going to encourage everybody to give. Everybody who's eligible, who's not British, or under the subject of the Royal Crown. because you all have mad cow disease, apparently.
No.
Fine.
So, please give it these two packets. This was my packet. This was your packet. Oh.
Oh, man. Oof. The thing's still going?
Yeah.
Okay, so, let's get right into it. Again, the question here is, we've discussed Chumash Nechasev and Kol Mamono, what's the halacha in terms of how much you're obligated to give to save somebody else's life. Now we're going to discuss how you're obligated to give your blood or, you know, any other similar thing like platelets, bone marrow under the new system where they can take it from the blood and there's no requirement for surgery. And so the question is the person obligated to give a part of their body? So the classical makor for this issue is the Radvaz, which you have here in the very in the thick packet.
There's a double.
Okay, excellent. Fine. So it's not that thick.
It's not. I came up faster. Sorry.
Okay. So the Radvaz in Tshuva Tuf Resh Chav Zayin or Elef Nun Beis, the number systems can be very confusing. Talks about a case against going to be relevant to the question which we're going to discuss maybe at some later point in the Chabura about putting yourself into suffix sakana. Right, endangering yourself, but again, we're going to talk about when there's absolutely no danger involved. So the shayla is like this: Shalta mimeni, it's on the bottom left. Odia chadaiti al masharis akasuv im asher shilton liyisrael amar shilton liyisrael hanach li lekatet ever echad shein chames mimenu o amis yisrael chavercha. Right, so the baron says to a Jewish person, "Allow me to cut off a limb of yours, which is not going to be fatal." Or I will kill another Jewish person, right? So what are the options again? Yeshomrim shechayv laniach lekatetev roil veino meis, right? Some people say, well, you have to let him cut off the limb, given that you're not going to die from it. Midirim avodasara, right? Chash meinav muter lekachlo b'shabbos and first time mishum deshrine deena beliba tali mashma ever acher lo. So in other words, they're trying to bring proofs that that losing a limb is not a danger to life. And therefore, you'd be obligated to give. They want to connect this to the idea of sakanas ever on Shabbos, right? That we say that a person's allowed to be a mechal Shabbos on a darabanan, right? For sakanas ever to save a limb. So are we going to say the same thing here, that the limb is going to be worth more than the person's life, or no? Given that you can't be mechal shabbos on deraisa, so then seems like the limb is worth less than the other person's life. So that seems that's the way the shad is presented. The Radvaz first of all says zumidas chasidus. He says to give up a part of a person's body to save somebody else is a midas chasidus, right? We have to see, well, why is it not a chiyuv? Why is it not a chiyuv to give up part of a person's body? He calls it a midas chasidus. It says of Aladin Yes Chuva Malzin has Rishab, so he talks about Sakanas Aver. Go to the next page, right? And he says, you know, you can't bring a proof from Sakanas Aver. But an important part that we'll see for the suffix Sakana piece is in the second line on the next page, Rasu Dilma Alide Chatiras Aver, Aval Pisha Neshama Tulibo, Shema Yetzin Menu Dam Harbevi Yomus. He says, you know, I don't buy the idea that this is not dangerous. It's very dangerous. Maybe the person will die from loss of blood, and therefore he says that it's you know, not necessarily the best idea because the person may die. That's a different topic, right? But toward the end, right, he says he comes back to the issue of let's say there really is no danger, right? There really is no danger to life, so is a person obligated in that case? Right? So he says, if you go down, the first one line is Visu, right? About 11 lines from the bottom, right? From the first line is Kol Sheken, and three words in is Teda, right? So he says, first of all, he says, I think, the most of the truth, he says, I think this is very dangerous. If it's very dangerous, it's a different shayla. We're not going to talk about that shayla today. He says, Teda, Sakan Sever Chamira, Dai Tiril Chala, Shabbos, Bechol, Melachos, Shemidrem, Fil Al Yisrael. He says, Sakan Sever is a big deal. So losing a limb is a big deal. And then this is our, the critical part for us, Vesu Dechsev, Drachei Darchei Noam.
Right? He says, you know, the ways of Torah are ways of pleasantness. V'tzarech shemishpatei torasenu yumaskimim al haseichel v'asvara. He says, halacha has to fit with common sense. Right? So far he hasn't really said anything, you know, as far as, you know, it's like he's clearing his throat. You know, but why, Rabbi? Right? You know, you can't just say, well, it doesn't make any sense. You have to give a reason. So people are going to discuss, well, what is the reason for what he's saying? So he says, v'ech ya'alel da'atenu she'anich adam l'sameh eino olach toras yado raglo kadei shalo yamiso es chavero. Right? It says, he says, how could you possibly say that a person is obligated to allow his eye to be blinded or to have an amputation in order to save somebody else's life? And he really doesn't give a reason. He just says, it just doesn't make sense that a person should be obligated to do that. And therefore he says, Hilkach, eini roe tam ladin ze, ela midas chasidus v'ashrei chelko mishi yuchal lamud bazeh. Right? So he says again, assuming that there's no danger, he says there's still no obligation to give a part of your body to save somebody else's life. Right, this is obviously, you know, important also for kidney donations, all those other kinds of questions. He says, why? He doesn't really give a reason. He just says it doesn't make sense that there should be such an obligation. So what's pshat? Why exactly does the Radvash think you're not obligated? Right, it's not dangerous. Dangerous is a different circuit. Let's say it's not dangerous. Right, why are you not obligated? So he says drachad darchinam. So what does that mean? So here we have a machlokas achronim, machlokas modern day poskim. What exactly is pshat in the Radvaz? So Rav Moshe writes, let's see where is it? He says,
this
doesn't have the Maramakam on it, right?
No.
Right, Yerod Beis Kufayin Dalet, right? In the next source here, he says on the last page in this, in Anadal, the last page, he says like this. So he says, Mashakasov, here, Mashakasov Kotaraso, Shain Lachayev Gam Likach Aver Mimes Mamish Mitzachu Bizayon. Right? Everyone has it? Right. So he says, the discussion is again about taking a limb from a dead body. Right, he says that's a bizayon, right? It's a nivola mace, right? It's a bizayon, presumably to the family, that the person's not going to be buried whole. He says hinu lefishita sachach meshlomish and nizmarish utos. So he says you can't say that bizayon is enough to get out of having to save somebody's life. It's giving an aver from a dead body to save somebody's life, right? You can't say the bizayon gets enough. He says eladina haemes chaleka chiyuv, right? Why does he say that? He says, there are things, and that's what Rabbi Shapter was referring to earlier, there are things which are so bad that you're not obligated to do them. What's the getter? He says, the is betosis Shabbos, the adam ba'ol al mesi yosem al kol mamonu. He says, Yisra atzal mit leka, hu av shi yisra av kol mamonu. Right? V'lo chashu la'ata g'day shalo yavu l'chibuy mezi, la'atzaz mezi, ha'yitiru l'ma shi yifsik al-chasek Rabbi Yudu ben lakish mitam l'yusharis le'y as-lechibuy mezi v'shu mistari v'yosir. Okay, so what's he saying here? He's saying the Gemara says that you're allowed to violate hotzah derabanan, right, to save dead body, right, hotzah derabanan. But even to save all of your money, all your wealth is going to go up in smoke, and it's Shabbos, you're not even allowed to violate hotzah derabanan, right, to take out into the chatzer. Right, but they were matir. They did allow it for a person to save a dead body. Why? Because people, you know, are more. People care more about the dead body, about saving the dead body of a family member, than they care about all their property. Right. So you see that to people subjectively, right, proper care for a deceased relative is worth more to them than everything else that they have. So he's trying to establish that there's such a thing, and it's kind of like obvious, really, that there are such things in life that are worth more than all of a person's possessions, right? Some things that money can't buy. So he says, "Kevin Shlomatzinu Elish Tzarich Lahotzi Kol Mamono." This is the key line here. "Ein Lanun Chayev B'Davar Shuyosar Mikol Mamono." We find that halacha obligates, in order not to violate a law, a person's obligated to expend their entire wealth, right? But not more than their entire wealth. And there are some things that are worth more than your entire wealth, right? And he applies that here. Just giving a line, Mistabish alu yech mechuyev li natzel ma'averus kol lavin al deish yitan meso lechatzol levazoso ve'elu ha-mitztaren tuvid lo nomer el lo-hotzas kol mamon v'lo b'yoser mizel, all right? And he goes on to explain. He says, and this is Pshat in the Radvaz, right? The next column, five lines down. V'gam amidas chasidus ika avlach toch eiver shel atzva gedei latzel nevesh Yisrael kedis Radvaz mel aniach lach toch eiver memes u'gam mitzvah. So in other words, he connects this to the Radvaz. So you see from here that Rav Moshe thinks that the Pshat in the Radvaz, why it doesn't mean darcha darchino, I'm not obligated that someone should blind you or cut off a limb. No, it says, well, that's why? Because kol mamona is a shear, it's a maximum limit. More than kol mamona, you're not obligated. And we mentioned already that Rav Schechter disagreed. He thought that what does it mean? It means that that you're mukhiyev to give everything that you have, and even more than that. So, for instance, let's say so something that's worth more to you than kol mamono, than all the money that you have, Rav Schechter would say you're still obligated. So, what's the limit? So the limit is one limit that we know of is safek sakana. A person is not obligated to put themselves into danger in order to save somebody else. And now the question will arise: what do you do with blood donations and tissue donations? Okay, so let's think about it. So, based on Rav Moshe, what would we say? So we said that what's the basis? What's the reason that the Radvaz exempted us from giving up a part of your body to save somebody else? What's the reason for that? Right. The reason is because, right, the way Rav Moshe explains it, because losing a limb is worth more to you than kol mamon, than all the money that you have in the world, right? And if you want to give up more, so gizendei, that's a midas chasidus. So what will you save by a blood donation? So this is what I think Rabbi Bleich certainly points out. If you look, skip forward to the six may tissue donations be compelled. Okay, right?
From volume 4.
That's from volume 4, right? So Rabbi Bleich again explains the Radvaz like Rav Moshe. See on page 283, the second column. There are also burdens that a person would cheerfully surrender his entire fortune in order to avoid, etc. Radvaz presumably assumes that a reasonable person would place a higher value upon limb and organ than upon material wealth, and hence would willingly expend his entire fortune in order to preserve a limb or organ of the body. Right? And he quotes Rav Moshe in the footnote. Consequently, Radvaz rules that a person need not sacrifice a limb, etc. Right? So if that's the case, he goes on in page 284 on the next page to argue essentially that the reason that a person is prepared to surrender his entire fortune rather than sacrifice a limb is that the lost limb can never be replaced. That rationale is certainly absent in the case of replenishable blood body tissue such as blood and bone marrow. So Rabbi Bleich would Paskins, based on this Rav Moshe, right, that a person would be mechuyev to give blood or bone marrow or any replenishable body tissue in order to save a life.
For a Jew only, or for a...
Oh yeah, so we'll get to that in a second. But first, just getting the most narrowly defined halachic issue: as a person mechuyev to give a part of their body to save a life. So according to what comes out of Rav Moshe, the answer would be yes. Yeah.
Is the shift from Rav Moshe subjective? Because the Gemara talks about some people who value their money more than their body. Is that a subjective issue?
Presumably yes. We would have to. How would you calculate? Let's say for something like a kidney, right? Which giving blood certainly would be less than kol mamonim. It'd probably be less than chomish nechasav also, depending on the person, right? But if you have something that's more expensive, so presumably you'd have to evaluate how much would the person be willing to pay, right? To avoid having this procedure.
So it might change from person to person.
Right. So it would change from person to person. It would change depending on how much money they have in the bank also. Right.
Rav Schechter thought that was ridiculous.
Right. So that
Rav Schechter thought that couldn't be pshat. That's why kol mamonim can't be a shear, because it's la'itachin that I have to give up $100. And then Steve Jobs would have to give up several billion,
right?
Which is not possible.
So that was one of the things.
So that's why he just didn't think that was acceptable.
I mean, that was one of the reasons Rav Schechter said. The other reason he said is just because there's no source for it.
Right.
Okay. The Gemara explains why there's a source for chomish nechasev, right? But there's no source for kol mamono as being a limit. Rather, all it means is that you have to give up everything, and then whatever limits we can discover aside from money, would also be bichlal. So what about so it would seem on the surface that according to Rav Moshe's explanation of the Radvan, blood donations and platelets and bone marrow and all these other things would be a chiyuv to save a life.
But according to Rav Schechter's
We don't know yet. According to Rav Schechter,
it's the same thing with Chomish Nechasav. I mean, Steve Jobs would have to give him five.
Yeah, but that's a din.
That's a din.
We learned from a pasuk. That's a din. We have a pasuk. We have a raya. It's a din. I have to give up more than you have to give blood. Whatever. But you thought that was different. But according to Rav Schechter's,
you
have to give blood.
Well, no.
I have to give everything. I'm doing something in the process.
According to Rav Schechter, there still can be other limitations. According to Rav Schechter, so far, according to Rav Schechter, we don't know. We don't have an explanation for the Radvaz yet, according to Rav Schechter, right? So why aren't you obligated to give up a limb in such a way that it's not dangerous? So let's...
If blood draws life, somebody's dying on the table in front of you?
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. When we're talking about blood banks, or the person's dying on the table in front of you, they say, please, give blood to save this person's life, this Jewish person's life.
That's not what happens in the blood drive. We'll talk about blood drive separately. But
right.
No, that's narrow. Meaning we have to deal with the narrower issue and then expand it. But the blood drive is not that.
Right.
I mean, they hope not to. In New York, I don't know how much.
But it's also like how many blood drives you have to go to. You could find one every day if you want.
Okay, good. So let's move forward. So we said, Lemaisa. Speaking about the targeted case. Thank you. Speaking about the case of targeted. Donations. We said that according to Rav Moshe, it would seem that there would be an obligation. Is there anyone who disagrees? So
I add Nikaras to your bracket.
Yeah, thank you. What is that?
Sefer B'damai Chayi Hilchos Trumastam.
Okay.
Get the Mevatel Torah to go to a blood drive.
Okay.
Talks about it.
So is anyone who disagrees? So there's a litter. Do you have that litter?
Do you print it?
The letter from Victor Neventhal.
I printed it. Do we not print it again?
Here it is.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
And the Tzitz Eliezer.
Did we not print the second? I didn't print the second set of things. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I owe you the cards. I apologize.
Okay, so we'll say it outside.
I apologize.
You can at least see them referenced in the footnote in Ray of Wire. And you can get the reference, but we'll have the Mamakos, course, I guess, for next week. There's a letter from Rav Neventhal that he wrote to Asya, where he said that when he was a little boy, so he asked the Brisker Rav, should we pressure people to give blood, right? So the Brisker Rav said it's permissible to give blood, but you can't pressure people to do it. In other words, the Brisker Rav presumably held it was not a chiyuv. So why? So it doesn't say. So what could be the pshat?
So I was talking to Daniel Turkel about this, who had a story from Neventhal, who sorry happened to, who apparently in Israel you can't give blood more than every X amount of days, right? So whatever the law was, he found out from his personal doctor that it could be like a week or so earlier. He could actually give a week or so earlier with no harmful effects. So apparently he would sneak into places to try to give blood earlier than he was legally allowed to, and then he was thrown out, and he was not allowed to blood after that. But apparently, this mice with the brisker did not have quite the spot on him.
Yeah,
it might not be chiyuv.
Midas chasidus, right?
Maybe he's brodev mitzvahs.
So what could be the pshat? So
also back in that time, giving blood might have had other risks, infection. I'm saying
in this.
Okay, so again, it's hard to know. You don't know what the brisker had in mind because it's one of these ex cathedra pronouncements. You know that we can't. So there's not really much you can do with that. But what do we have in print? So there's a tshuva that sits Eliezer. Which we don't have here, unfortunately.
Sorry.
It's a very colorful tshuva. Chelek Tez Zayin Simen Chav Gimel, which we should have for us next week, where he says two things. He says, first of all, he says this is very dangerous. Well, I'm sorry, he doesn't say this. Right. He says you're not obligated. Why? He says because Hadam Hu HaNefesh, because your soul is in your blood, and you're not mechuyev to give up your soul, right, to save somebody else. So if you look at Rabbi Bleich, if you could bring it up, that would be smart. So if you look at Rabbi Bleich on 285, and may tissue traditions be compelled. So he just has a sort of a one liner.
Does Rav Schechter point to that in his brain dump discussion?
Well, it's a pasuk in Chumash. Right. The Tzitzel Erez doesn't have monopoly on the pasuk in Chumash. The question is, what does the pasuk mean, and is it even remotely relevant here? So, if you look in footnote 28 in Ray of Life's piece, he says, he quotes Rabbi Waldenberg. He says, apart from the obvious objections that might be raised, obviously that's kind of ridiculous, right? And I think Rav Shechter had the same reaction that, actually, when I told Rav Shechter that Tzitzel Erez said that, he said, I guess this is on tape, but I'm sure Rav Shechter wouldn't mind. He said that, yeah, like the Tzitzel Erez makes a lot of stuff up. And all of his truths are like that. That's what he said. So Tzitzel Erez says, Adam Nefesh, you're not obligated to give your soul, to give up your life to save a person. And so therefore you're not obligated to give blood. Very strange thing. He also says another thing there with regards to platelets. Right, he says that when a person gives platelets, and the same thing is true for the bone marrow donations, right? When a person does that, so they take out the blood and they filter it, right, and then they put it back in, right? Right? That's how they do it. So he says if you take out that much blood from a person, that's very dangerous.
Yeah, but they don't take out, meaning they're only taking out so much at any given time.
So it could be that when he was writing
over the course of
they could not have been taking out all the dots.
Well, he writes that they take out all of his blood and
which
then they put it all back.
More than 5 pints of blood filter through that machine
at a time.
No, you only have 5 pints in you at a time.
So, that's
but it's fine. True. All of your blood is going in that machine,
but not at the same time.
I understand.
Okay, so
the question was, what's his metzias? Mm-hmm. It's possible that metzias wasn't they took out all of your blood and gave it back. It's not possible.
Right.
Is
so
that what he understood that I
okay. So he says.
So somebody must have claimed that he was wrong. Okay.
Right. So it could be that he was just wrong, that wasn't what was happening because they were taking out small amounts and putting them back. You know, I mean that's one possibility.
It's a good possibility.
You know, but the point that he makes is still important with regards to other cases like kidney donations because he says essentially what are you doing when you do this? He says you're taking stuff. You're putting the person in a state where they can't live like that anymore, right? You're talking about all their blood, right? So let's not leave aside the blood. Let's say a kidney donation. You cut open the person's chest. If you leave them like that, they'll certainly die. Or they're back, right? Right? This is why you sound much better if you actually know the medicine very well. If you cut the person open, right? So you cut the person open, they can't possibly live like that, right? He says, you're going to sew them up again. And then the doctors say that it'll for sure be okay. He said, but we don't care about that because in the meantime, the person's at tremendous risk to their life. And so therefore he says, because, as we're going to see, I guess another point, you're not obligated to risk your life to save somebody else. Even though the doctors say there's zero risk from this procedure, because during the middle of the procedure, you're in a state where, you know, if everyone just got up and walked away, then you might be at risk. So therefore you're not obligated. So that's also a very strange concept, right? You're going to say that, you know, if I don't give you lunch and nobody ever gives you any more food, then you'll probably die, right? So do we say that therefore not eating lunch is a sakana? Because you know, it may not be rectified, right? You know, that's a very strange concept. Anyway, so the Tzitzel Erez himself felt that giving blood, he says, well, that's only giving up a raviyas dam. So it's not endangering you. But he says at the same time if you give blood, that's a raviyas dam, and that's your nefesh, and therefore you're not obligated. Yeah.
Aren't there like plenty of situations where if you stayed in if you stayed in the street, at some point you're gonna get hit.
Right. I mean, yeah, 100%. It's very strange. You're gonna say you're not allowed to go scuba diving because if you stay under the water long enough, you'll run out of oxygen. Yeah. Right. And that's a matzav of sakana. Right. That's very strange.
There's probably a little more nuance. It's not the matzav of sakana. It's that if people walk away, you'll die.
But they're not going to walk away.
Yeah, but let's say they do. It's not about nature.
Okay. So if it was common, if that was
the pilot walks away from the controls,
right?
Crash.
Right. Point was, how do you look at the process? Is it the surgery? Or no? Every 5 minutes of the surgery, it's a separate shiloh. Can I continue with the next 5 minutes?
No, but I hear that.
Every
concept.
5 minutes is a din, and every 5 minutes, well, next 5 minutes is a kana.
Okay. So
and the fact that after 5 minutes, but it depends how you look at the whole idea.
In every surgery, there's an inherent risk. People make mistakes. People.
Right, but this isn't helping.
If that was the issue, then we would be able to quantify that medically speaking. But here he's saying that even if the doctors say there's absolutely no risk because they can put it all back. Still, it's a maisif sakana, and again, it's just a very, again, like you said, it's very difficult to support that idea, in reality. Is there anyone? So far, we've had this tzitzel. There's these two ideas: one, the damu and nefesh, right? And then in the case where it's a pool of sakana, you would also say that's also a svar. Rav Schechter had another svar. Rav Schechter felt that the pshat and what's the pshat in the Radvaz? Again, we're coming back. What's pshat in the Radvaz? If you say it's kol mamona, so then this would be obligatory. Rav Schechter thought pshat in the Radvaz is that a person's drached archinom, a person's not obligated to give a part of their body. Because the Torah obligates me to give my money, to give my time, to do mitzvahs. The Torah doesn't obligate me to give a part of my body to do mitzvahs.
Is
that right?
An arbitrary split?
Intuitively you could understand it, but he thought that the Torah obligates me to do maisim, to do things. This is not to give parts of my body. That was what he thought was pshat. He didn't quote a source for it. He thought Rav Moshe made what? How could it be, right? And again, we said that even more than kol mamono is an obligation, but not to give parts of my body. And then he had a suffix. Then Rav Schechter had a suffix: is a replenishable part of the body called a part of the body, or is that not a part of the body?
Like blood, or bone marrow.
Right. So Rav Schechter thought it's possible that you are mechuyev to give blood. You are going to have to give blood again in a targeted.
It's punishable.
Right.
It takes a little time.
Okay.
Even if you lop off a load.
Right. So Rav Schechter was misupik. If giving blood, is that really like a part of your body or no? Because it's going to grow back. So therefore, it's not really a part of your body. The Torah does obligate you to it. So he was misupik about that, about whether you'd be obligated. And again, that's a different explanation of the Radvaz, right? One explanation is more than kol mamona, you're not obligated. Rav Schechter's explained the Radvaz based on saying that you're not obligated to give a part of your body. Nafkamina is, according to Rav Schechter, right? No matter that there's no sakana and it's not worth that much to you, you still would not be obligated to give a part of your body. And it just he just had a suffix that maybe this is different because it's replenishable.
Wouldn't there also be an aspect of tsar involved? Okay, good. Because maybe that could be what the Rabbah is really saying regarding Darchei Darchei Noam, because it's ways of peace, and therefore tsar would be antithetical to peace. In a
right.
sense, and if you don't need to go on this whole
right.
other notions of mamono and whatnot,
right? That's an excellent point, and I guess we're gonna get to that in just a second. First, let's just look at the Shevet Halevi, because again, we haven't seen anybody yet who obligates you to. We saw Rav Leich obligates you to give blood. Did any of the other poskim obligate you to give blood? Rav Moshe doesn't draw the inference because he's not talking about that. The Shevet Halevi in Chosh Mishnah Siman Reish Tes, what chelik is this?
Okay.
So he says, his shaila is right. Mechsav mechus zman. Asher nistapek kvodo lalach b'davar matzui sheshchol imsukin nezakuk lemanos dam. Repad boven shachol yesh lo suk dam sheinu matzui kol kach b'bank adam, the bank of the dam. Neitan la'asiga raket al yichidim lefamim kan lefamim makom rachok. Okay, so he wants to know. He wants to know: is it an obligation or not? Right. So he quotes the Radvaz.
And he's talking about a blood bank, not just.
He's talking about targeted blood donation, a targeted individual blood donation. Let's say an unusual blood type, right? Right. So he says. Basically comes to the conclusion, right? In the paragraph beginning with Vahashta on this first page, right? So he says, how do I know it's not dangerous? Because they used to give blood, and they used to have bloodletting in time of the Gemara. Right? Tzitz Eliezer raises the point. He says it's terribly dangerous. He says that Tzitz Eliezer says, you see, Adamu and Nefesh. He says, but they used to give bloodletting in time of the Gemara, and that wasn't dangerous. He says, no, that was dangerous there too, because the Gemara keeps saying that bloodletting is very dangerous.
No, they just assumed they're taking out toxins and not blood.
No, blood's coming out.
But it was for
they're getting
that
the toxins out.
Right, that's what Tzitz Eliezer says. He says, but the Sheva Levi assumes that's like a routine thing. Davar zeh noga v'yubimem kadmon afilu lebriyim. He says, even healthy people used to do bloodletting. So I think now we know that's pretty dangerous, right? But he says, but he's trying to prove based on that it's not a sakana. We could just ask the doctors. They'll tell us it's not a sakana. And he says, and he says, he says, He says, most people do not do bloodletting nowadays, so I can't really prove anything based on bloodletting. But mikol makom in nisayon eid l'atzmo, he says, experience shows that giving blood is not dangerous. Right? So he's basically saying that people give blood all the time and nothing happens to them. Right? U'b'chai gavne b'vaday mechuyev l'tein. Right? And then he has, again, the same suffix as the tzitzelezer with regards to the platelets. Right? Again, he thinks they take out all the blood, right? I guess over several hours.
This was not explained well to the poskim.
They take out all the blood, b'meshach kama shos, to take out, right? So is that called a sakana?
Right? That sounds like, for how many cases something has to happen for it to be considered a sakana?
Echad mini yelef, meaning even a very, very remote sakana is a sakana, right?
Like to overturn gezeiros that were like based on sakana was...
That's a different question. That when it comes to gzeres is a different question. Here, there's no gzeres involved, so it doesn't get
so
us to.
So shouldn't that be based on like majority of observed cases?
Not a majority. We see that nobody ever who's properly diagnosed and as a candidate for blood donation nobody's going to have any problems.
Well, that's not true. But nobody, but it's pretty.
People pass out.
Okay, so
there's no risk. The risk to life.
Passing out is not a risk to life either.
The risk to life,
right?
Is remote.
Right.
It depends.
Okay, very good. So if you look at the last paragraph, you see his conclusion. We saw again, basically says that because it's not dangerous, you're mechuyev. He says, binyan lav de lo sam la riacha, etc. Le'inyan ikar shel aso, in the last paragraph, min tziz dam pshuta vaday de vegeder mitzvah yu, ulohotzi kol damo kanal bevaday eno vegeder chiv. So he says, the platelet thing, because he thinks that's terribly dangerous, the giving platelets, he thinks it's dangerous, he says, you're not mechuyev. Right, because it's of danger. But giving blood, when not platelets, he thinks that is a chiv. Mashenogim litrom dam lebank adam. Ah, so then that's a nick.
Well,
that's right. So he doesn't think the red vase applies here.
No.
Right, he doesn't think the red vase applies here.
So he says it's a mitzvah.
Yeah,
it's a chiv.
It sounds like
it's
in the previous paragraph. He said it was a chiv. He says this is a chiv.
I'm sorry, I'll make more packets for next week.
It's a chiv to give it to the...
Targeted donation.
No, he's saying targeted donation.
Targeted donation.
Okay,
now let's... Now, fine. So we establish you have this machlok zaposkin. Basically, you have Rav Shechter and Tzitzel Ezer on one hand, Rav Leich and the Shevet HaLevi on the other hand, and it seems like Rav Moshe would probably side with the Shevet HaLevi and Rav Leich, because that's how he explains the Radvaz. He doesn't have this idea in that case. What about giving to a blood bank? What are giving to a blood bank? So, if you look
there should be a difference. Their blood will be used.
Okay, excellent. So first of all, there's the question.
For a whole meaning, sometimes we don't always give blood donations for someone that's saving a life. We do give blood donations in times where it's not necessarily saving a life.
And even that would be a difference.
Okay, but the blood bank needs blood for life saving operations.
But even
they need the blood.
Life saving, let's say. Right, let's say your case. You just need a blood transfusion for some odd reason.
Most people need blood transfusion at home and say spam sakana. Come on, no one's going to agree to a blood transfusion without being makom sakana. You have to have a really good reason to get blood.
At least a suffix sakana.
Yes, a suffix sakana.
But even when we give it, it's not necessarily, you're not necessarily in danger when we start giving blood. We know
that's a different story. That's a different story. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
So good. So let's see. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva about blood banks. So he says, just in sort of a one-liner, in tshuva sun kuf gimel. Right. I think it's here.
Oh, did I not print the second batch?
Was in the first batch. It was here. Here. Choshen Mishpat, what chelk is this? So he says, wants to know, can I give blood to a blood bank for money? So just look at it really is.
Reach for economics. This is
right. So he says, again, just see the way he asked the question. B'davar imutar la'aniach la'rofim la'hoti mimenu dam la'achin b'avur cholim shi'tzdarachol l'zeh k'derach ha'rofim b'zmanem sh'machlis dam la'adam la'cholim m'sukanim l'rufuasam, etc. Oven she'ein b'zeh din atzalas nefesh. Why? Mishum she'adayin ein kan chole. Ach mechinim la'acholim shi'zdamnu. Umi yodeh im yavo adam hazeh she'yotzim menu l'chole she'dochim yisurim b'shvilo. So he says, first of all, he says, I don't know if there's going to be a need for the blood.
But there's no iser we've established to give blood.
So he wants to be, are you obligated?
He's saying the issue is you can't obligate somebody to do something when you don't know
if it's going to be used. Exactly.
But
is there a
chiyuv? Because you can't go against the, I'm not with you, but you say you can't go against the like be doche isurim, you said, right?
No, right, but here there's no isurim.
No.
Okay, so fine. So we'll.
I was thinking, if there's no isurim to give blood, then who cares if it's going to?
It may be mutter, but it may not be a chiyuv. So
right, if it's a basel chiyuv, then should you be able to sell it? Because it's.
So he wants about the money. So let's just again. So he said, first of all, he says again. You see, just from his assumption that to give to a blood bank is not going to be a chiyuv. His question is: is it permissible to make money to sell it, right? So why is he doing not a chiyuv? He gives two reasons. He says, first of all, who knows if this blood is going to be used? Second of all, who knows if it's going to go to a Jewish person, right? So with regards to those two issues, so Rav Bleich has in the Hebrew article in Mitzvah Halacha addresses both of them. You'll see why he doesn't. He obviously doesn't want to address the point about whether it's obligation to give to non-Jews an English piece, even though this is not being recorded. But if you see in the Shtalit Moach Atzamot in the bone marrow piece in the Mitzvah Halacha Chel Gimel, right? So he basically argues, and because we're just running out of time, so we'll just summarize it briefly. He says he has two points. He says first of all, the blood is definitely going to be used. It's definitely going to be used, right? But is it going to go to a Jew or a non-Jew? So he says, first of all, it's kol kavua kemechta al mechta dami, right? It's kol kavua kemechta al mechta dami. So therefore, you know, there's a suffix whether it go to a Jew or a non-Jew, and you'd be obligated for suffix pikuach nefesh. Second of all, he points out that even if you're giving to a non-Jew, you're bumping a Jew up the list, right? So you're right. So even if the blood is going to go to a non-Jewish person, or the bone marrow for that matter is going to go to a non-Jewish person, you're always bumping a Jew up the list as pikuach nefesh for a Jew. So therefore, from that perspective, it would be a chiyuv.
And also, if you assume like the Meiri that non-Jews nowadays are begeder geri tosha, then you would have a chiyuv to be merapa them bechinam or to
you have no chiyuv.
Sure, geri tosha you would.
So I don't know whether that, I don't know whether
Meiri,
that's a
first Meiri goes so far as to get
Tosos. Okay, so again, I don't want to get into the sheet of the Meiri, but working within the guys, traditional halachic parameters, this inclusion would still be reached. There would still be an obligation. However, again, as we saw, the Shevet Levi also points out. He says that lemaisa giving to a blood bank is not a chiyuv. Why? Because essentially, the blood bank never runs out of blood. Right. As much as they advertise that they're running out,
they
always have critical shortages, but they never actually run out because there's always enough people who respond to the call, right?
That's a really crazy svara. Just because they never run out, they don't run out because people give.
Correct.
But
so do you have to give if everybody else is?
In other words, we have
you're just diffusing responsibility as somebody else saying, I don't
have a thing. Okay. No. So what comes out in such a situation? It's like the problem of the commons, right? What comes out is that as a community, we're obligated to arrange that enough people should give. But if I see that there's 100 people in front of me in line, and I know that there's someone who will take my place, so then I don't have an individual obligation to be that one. If
Does
I do it,
work for even the like specific, you see the guy on the table.
No, that case is enough.
Like, there's two guys in front of you, and they're like, he's gonna get blood from them. Do you also have to like be like? Take
well, in that case, you're probably just wasting your time. But let's say there's three guys who need blood, and I see that, it's like, the Kohanim and the Levim coming to wash their hands, right? There's a Kohen comes and a Levi comes. I see that each time a Kohen comes, a Levi comes to wash his hands. So I don't have to get up and be the one. Rav Shechter also thought this was a correct idea, but he said he told the story that there was a Schnorrer who was in Merkaz Arav, was collecting money, and Rav Avram Shapira didn't give to him. They asked him, why didn't you give to him? He said that you only have to give tzedakah to people who don't have a fixed income. But this person has a fixed income, right? And of course, but again, anyone who gives is obviously being zocha in a tremendous mitzvah because they're being that person. But they don't. You can't say they have an individual obligation. Okay, so we'll continue with more, I guess, next week.
Okay, let's go.